You're listening to the Pesky Report, a podcast dedicated to the Boston Red Sox by Red Sox fans. Report is happy to announce that we will be sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. High and Happy Catering creates gourmet meals for small or large events with a twist. All of their meals are cannabis infused. If you are looking to have a real happy meal, call them at 413-785-8999 or search for them on Instagram at High and Happy Catering. You'll be happy you did.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of the Pesky Report. My name is Brad Chandler. This is episode number 92. We are sponsored by High and Happy Catering. Go check them out on their Instagram page. We are presented by Belly Up Sports Network. Check them out as well. With me today, I have my good boy, Brady. And I don't want to say it, but it's eerily similar to the Section 10 podcast and their most recent show. They had Pat Light was late to the episode by like an hour and a half or whatever. And we were supposed to start this podcast at 5 o'clock. And Grant said, "Hey man, I get out of work at 5. What about starting at 5:30? And I'm like, "Sure, let's start the show at 5:30. Here it is, 5:50. And Grant isn't available right now.
I'm sorry,
Pat's not available right now.
He's a little late. Maybe in Iowa, time works differently. I feel like we can't rule that out. Listen, I'm just glad to see that, you know, you look good.
Yeah, man. So news is on Friday, the day on New Year's Eve, I was actually supposed to have a get together with a few of my friends. They were all supposed to come over to my my apartment. We were all going to get smashed. And yeah, I ended up having like a tickle in my throat. And I was just like, you know what, man, I'm going to go get tested. And luckily I went and got tested because it came back that I was positive for COVID. It sucked because one of my friends who I haven't really hung out with in a few years, he was going to come over with his girlfriend. Another one of my friends, they were going to come over and we were just going to like make tons of food. We were going to get smashed. We were going to make like a scorpion bowl type deal. We were going to have like a scorpion bowl punch thing going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty like disappointed in the fact that I ended up catching it, but it was going to happen.
I'm a little disappointed that I was not invited. I just feel like that's.
Well, you were, but.
That's uncomfortable. Yeah.
You were invited.
Pretty sure I wasn't.
You're always invited. So any party that I'm having, you're more than welcome to come over. But I mean, it's a 3-hour drive for you.
Listen. To go see my boy, because I'll bring you fucking chicken noodle soup. Don't say the fucking word, because I was worried about you, right?
Because
when you told me that you were like, I was like, "How you doing?" You're like, "My whole body feels like meh," and I was like, "Oh,
yeah, dude." I felt so Friday, Saturday, I felt like shit, and it was, literally like I know that everybody else has different symptoms. Right. Mm-hmm. I think the worst thing that happened was I had the liquid shits. And I, like, every 10 minutes I was running to the bathroom. I was like, oh, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I think I actually lost like 6 pounds. I'm not joking about that either. I lost probably about 6 pounds in like the weekend. And it was probably for as many times as I went and shit. And the one thing that I kept trying to, oh, look at this. Pat's getting ready to try and join us.
Don't you dare call him.
Hold on. Uh-huh. Hold on 1 second.
Uh-huh. Don't even talk to him.
Hey, what's up, guys? Off, off indeed. You're not funny. Just all. What the fuck? Oh, that's really good. That's funny. Well, anyway. Hello.
Hi, Pat. Thank you for joining us. Finally.
Oh, yeah, because I wanted to. Yeah. I love technical difficulties are really fun.
How many technical difficulties are you going to have in a year? Actually, technically, this is your first this year.
All of them. Yeah. He's, also, I'll take shit from Brad. I will not hear any of it from Brad. I will not hear any of it.
You
will not hear any fighter from Brady showing up late. I'm not. I refuse.
Jesus Christ. Your phone sucks just as bad as your computer.
Yeah, I know. Why do you think I don't record on it?
What, your computer?
Pat's coming in fucking throwing smoke. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, don't you fucking tell me what's what. I'm going to show up whenever the fuck I want. First time all year long. Don't you fucking give me shit.
Jesus nice. Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. We were just talking about the fact that... it's been a long fucking weekend for me. I'd rather have a long day than a weekend.
Yeah.
This is... Actually, my brother came over, what was it, Friday? Is it Friday or Saturday? And my brother came over, he came over Friday, and he, like, walked into my apartment, and he was like, hey, dude, what's going on? I was like, what the fuck are you doing walking in here? Like, I have COVID. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. I had COVID last week. I was like, fair enough. So he's, like, walking in, like, hey, dude. And I'm like, okay. And like, he got Mucinex, he got fucking daytime Mucinex, he got nighttime Mucinex. He got this fucking like, this flu shit candy stuff that he was like, yeah, you should take this on a daily basis. I was like, I can't even pronounce this. It's like Oscalocolosmium.
Oh, it's pronounced Theraflu.
That's not Theraflu.
No, I have no idea what the fuck that is.
I have no fucking clue what that is.
But my brother
was like, just take it. And I'm like, okay, don't know what the fuck it is, what it's supposed to do, but it's like flu-like symptoms. Get rid of your body aches, your headaches, your fevers. So cool thing is, I didn't have a fever. That was cool. And the highest my temp was at 99. I mean, that's not really a temp. That's a low temp. So, like I said, the worst I had was the shits.
You mean a fever? Because it is a temp, no matter what temp it is. It's still a temp.
Yeah, I didn't have a temp.
No temp. No,
no temp. Nope.
No temp.
No fever.
Nope. No temp. Nope. You are a fucking vampire. There is no temp.
It
okay,
fucking
wait. Okay. I actually got my computer to turn on. So,
you need to stop watching porn on your computer and watch it on your phone.
All right, bye, just, Pat. Yeah, switch. See you, Pat.
Yes.
Fuck off. But yeah, dude,
I'm just shocked though. Like, that's where we are as a society. And it's not a bad thing. Your brother's like, yo, you're like, hey man, don't come in. He's like, dude, I just had that shit fucking last week. It's like, that's where we are now. Fucking everybody. I've avoided.
You know what? In all honesty, dude, everybody's gonna end up getting it at some point.
Of course, just a matter of time.
Yeah, it's gonna end up being like a common cold, like you and I were talking about. I take it seriously. I wear a mask at work. I wear a mask out in public.
Yep.
It's like when my HR lady called me up earlier today, she was like, "Hey, how are your symptoms?" I'm like, "I'm fine." You know, like I'm perfectly fine. And she was like, "Wow, your immune system was really good." I was like, "It was like shit for 2 days."
Hey, what's up? I'm back.
That's fucking kingdom type shit right there.
That's great.
But I mean, it sucked for 2 days.
Now I got to ask you a question. You're younger than me. Yeah. Did you have chicken pox?
Yes, I did.
All right. Now, Pat, you never had chicken pox, right?
No, I got vaccinated for that shit.
See, that shit didn't even exist, you know, back when my mother, somebody had chicken pox. They were like, you're going over to their house and you're going to play with them. And I'm like, why? Because you should get chicken pox. That sucked, man. Growing up in the 80s was not as easy as it could have been.
That's a barbaric time.
I don't remember how I got the chicken pox. I just know I got the chicken pox.
Oh, I do. Thanks, Mom.
But no, fucking the worst of it was shits. That's it. I had a sore throat too. You know, just and I was done with that.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Cream soup.
So Pat, how you feeling? You feeling good, Pat?
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I'm actually feeling pretty shit, but you know, had a long day, but we're here and we're recording.
You should feel good. Your team fucking destroyed the Jags yesterday.
Oh, I felt great about that yesterday. Felt great. Pat's clinched a playoff spot.
Not me. I took the under and,
you were rooting for the Jags.
No, I was rooting for the spread. So I took the under.
Because what was the under, like 40, like 45 or something?
It was something just stupid. I think it was over 27 or something crazy. And I was like, that's a lot of fucking points, man. So I was like, I'll just take the under, right? The Pats are winning, but like
not by 45.
Like, right.
And, also, that's not the over. It's just the spread. Yeah. Over under is like just the total point total.
Yeah. No, I did the spread. Sorry.
Okay. And yeah, you're right. It was fucking absurd.
It was just, I thought for sure it was a fairly safe bet. Oops.
And they covered.
Oops.
How about the fucking Antonio Brown bullshit?
Dude, I was watching that game. Like, I was like, what the fuck is happening?
Dude just had a temper tantrum, fucking took his fucking jersey off. Everything. The pads included, and then fucking just like walked.
Dude, he left his pads and a helmet like underneath the bench, like how the Undertaker did, like after his match against Roman Reigns, like at WrestleMania, where he just like left his like hat and cape in the middle of the ring. It's like, I'm gone.
He's electric. Every team needs one.
No. Watch the Cowboys go sign AB afterwards, because why not?
He'll never play football.
So maybe he should go play baseball.
That's what you think.
Yeah, he's not going to play the football again.
That's what you think.
Yeah, that's what I know.
No, dude. I mean, talent wins all at the end of the day. Someone will eventually become desperate enough. I guarantee you.
So we decided that we were going to talk about the 2004 ALDS, which I was like, you know, fuck it. I'll watch the ALDS and whatnot. Then I found out that I got fucking COVID. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm going to watch a lot of the 2004 season, because what the fuck else am I going to do? I have nowhere to go. I can't go anywhere. I got to stay in my fucking apartment and shit. So I literally watched, I don't know, probably half the season of the 2004 season. Like, I'm not even joking. Huh?
As normal people do, yes.
Well, here you go. Like, I'm watching it right now.
That's such a power move. Oh, my God.
Like, there's Pokey Reese. Like, there's guys on this team that I didn't know fucking existed. Like, I knew Pokey Reese, but who was the other dude? Cesar what?
Cesar Crespo. Oh yeah.
Yeah, Cesar Crespo. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Kevin Youkilis was on the 2004 team.
Yeah, he was a rookie.
So he would have been a young buck at the time.
Yeah, he really was. And sorry, I keep putting it on here. I'm trying to stop screen sharing here. Who else is on? Alan Embry. I didn't know
he was. Oh, on yeah. Embry and Timlin. That's the
big one. I knew Timlin. Kapler, I thought was later on. I thought he was a little bit later.
No, very very cool Kapler story though. When the Sox win in 04 the World Series, standing in center field is Johnny Damon number 18. Standing in right field is Gabe Kapler number 19. And there's a picture of the two of them standing side by side. And what year did it make? 1918.
Oh no shit! That's
yeah.
Cool. That's kind of crazy.
That is crazy.
Yep, that was they didn't fuck around. They took out Trot, brought in a for a better defender and crazy shit.
I love Trot. Trot was he was like the fucking he was the epitome of a fucking dirt dog. Like that was the like people call fucking Petey a fucking dirt dog. Like Trot was the dirt dog. Like his hat was fucking filthy no matter what. Like that thing was fucking disgusting.
Phenomenal baseball player. He was great. Came up in, I want to say it was 99 as a rookie in the postseason. And but man, he played right field as good as fucking anyone could play in Fenway Park. Big time clutch hitter. And that was the opposite when they signed JD Drew to replace him in right field when Trout was gone. You talk about like polar opposites. JD Drew never got his jersey because he was so good at he never needed a slide. He knew what he was great.
I will say this, one of my favorite people that are on the 2004, like not the team, but like the staff and all, Lynn Jones.
Oh, that mustache is great.
That mustache makes me want to actually grow a mustache. And I fucking hate mustaches. Like I shave my mustache all the time, but that every time I see him, I'm just like, and that guy's got a beautiful mustache.
Third base coach Dale Swaim was known as Send Him Swaim. Oh, yeah, because that fucker never held anybody. Go! Oh, yeah, he was great.
Carlos Beltran played for who the fuck did he play for?
Houston or Kansas City?
He played for Kansas. It was so weird watching him. Yeah, he played for Kansas. He was the center fielder, right? He was the center fielder for Kansas as well.
How long was he there for?
And in 2004.
Couple years.
That was the year that Roger Clemens had signed that contract with the Houston Astros where he would pitch for them, but he only pitched at home.
I mean, that's
Yeah, they moved. Johnny Damon was the Royals center fielder as a rookie, and they move on from Johnny Damon to bring in because they had Carlos Beltran who came up and they knew from the get-go that he was going to be a fucking stud. And he was.
Yeah. And then they traded him to the Astros that year. So he was with the Astros when they were playing against the Cardinals in the National League Championship Series.
Dude, when I think of Carlos Beltran, like I think like Mets or Cardinals, like I didn't even know he played on the Royals. Not going to lie.
That's who drafted him. You know, who developed him. I don't know if they drafted or signed him as a minor league free agent, but that's who brought him up. Oh yeah.
So I think of him as the as a member of the Yankees.
Oh no.
But those were like
I remember him as for the Cardinals, but I also remembered him for the Yankees. And the reason why I remembered him for the Yankees was because I mean he played against the fucking Red Sox.
Like things like yeah, like his best years though. I mean. That's like Mets and Cardinals, like by far.
Yeah, he was a great. Yeah, he's pretty synonymous with the New York Mets. You know what I mean, like.
Oh no, I'm not saying that I don't know him for the Mets.
Yeah,
I know him better as the Yankees because of the fact that he played against the Red Sox.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Fuck the Yankees.
So yeah, I mean, as you're going through, you know, looking at Game One, Brad, what did you like? What did you notice? It's a 9-3. Sox win. Kurt Schilling gets the ball.
We're just jumping right in. We're not going to fucking like dick out a little bit.
This is my favorite. You're talking about my favorite year of all time. This is like Christmas for me.
I was going to say, like, this must be like you guys just like reliving your glory days. Like, this is like the throwback nostalgia trip. Because, like, I was too young to remember 04. I was 5 years old at the time.
So 04 was a little odd for me because I'm a Red Sox fan now. And I didn't start becoming like a diehard Red Sox fan until 2013. Like, I paid attention, but I didn't like the way we are now, like the way we pay attention right now. I was not anywhere near that then. Like, I didn't go to my first Red Sox game until 2013. And just a simple fact that like this is like their first World Series I'm sorry, we don't know that they make the World Series because we're only on the ALDS, but like they're making a run for it. I believe they were only 4 games behind the Yankees,
which is crazy because at the All-Star break, they were basically a 500 team. And then when they traded, you know, Nomar, Ringo Cabrera, Doug Mankiewicz, when they make those moves, all of a sudden, they fucking go something like 45-15, something stupid the rest of the way. They were red hot going in the postseason.
All right. Now, there's a few things that I wanted to talk about before we actually talked about the ALDS. One of them being, this was back in the day. I got confused a little bit. This is back in the day when the All-Star game meant that whichever league actually won got the home field advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, so we know that whoever wins this, the American League Championship Series, they're going to end up being the home field advantage team. All right. And the other thing that I noticed in the Red Sox, and it's something that we take like what's the word?
Describe it.
Yeah, like what?
The fact that like in 2004, this is weird for me. They didn't have, you and I talked about this, Brady. Yeah. They didn't have the little netting thing protective. Or whatever, the protective netting or whatever for the dugout. There were stairs and you could walk down the stairs the entire way down into the dugout. Now there's actual seats, there's a protective thing or whatever there. I know that, and because I've been watching a lot of the 2004 season over the weekend. The Yankees, they have that protector and whatnot, but the Red Sox did not. So like when a ball went into the dugout, it went into the dugout. There was no protective anything. Like if you could get hit, which is probably what happened. We can get into it if you want. The first game was Kurt Schilling versus, is it Jared or Gerard?
Jared Washburn.
Okay, it's Washburn.
Which was pretty controversial because this was the first postseason game you had Schilling and you had Pedro. So Pedro started the season opener in 2004. They gave it to Pedro. Game two was Schilling, who was electric against Baltimore. But Francona said, fuck this shit in the postseason. He went his ace number one horse. And this is where the flip-flop really began to seeing Schilling as the ace.
Well, this is watching Pedro in 2004, it sucks that they didn't bring him back. But I understand now. Like back then, it was like, fuck, dude, why the fuck did you do that? And not like watching more of the 04 season, I also understand why they traded Nomar. It's completely like if you watch it now, it's understandable. But like watching it back then, it was like, no, why would you let this guy go? He was like, that was like the Mookie Betts thing. Like, yeah. why would you trade this guy?
Yeah, you know, Nomar threw so many. He made it so clearly obvious that he was frustrated that he didn't get a long-term contract extension. That he really put himself before the team, made it clearly obvious. And, you know, he actually forced his way out of Boston, not the other way around.
It's basically the same way that same thing that happened with Mookie. And yep. And he didn't get that long-term contract because he was always hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched like fucking 20 games of the 2004 season, the first 20 games. He wasn't playing.
No, 2003, he was great. He had a great 2003. The 1 year, I don't think it was 03, but maybe it was 02. He had 371. Now, I know people don't care about batting average anymore, but 371, that's fucking crazy. Like,
pretty good.
Yeah, Nomar hit doubles like a motherfucker, man. He was great.
All right, let's get into it. So, Hogdale, did you watch the ALDS?
I caught the first two games, and I was gonna watch last night, but then some family shit came up. So, yeah,
was that your computer?
My computer? No, the computer was not the family shit.
So, fun fact: I've watched all three games, but because I've had the vid, I actually went ahead and I watched other games too. So I kind of like don't remember the games because I've been paying attention to other games as well. And even though we were supposed to talk about this game. All right, whatever. Schilling, good. Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Red Sox win 9-3. Schilling gets the win. Gerard Washburn gets the loss.
Jared.
I know, it's Jared. cool. What I enjoyed was Bartolo Colon.
The legend. Big sexy. Yeah.
The other thing I enjoyed was Guerrero, Vladdy Guerrero Sr., the Molina brothers as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It is just absolutely amazing how fucking awesome those guys were. You had Benji and Jose, and those guys were great. Washburn pitched in two games, right?
Oh, yeah. I'll save that for game three. Hold on. He sure did. I was there, by the way, for game three. That was great. That was fantastic. Yeah.
So did Scott Shields.
Good reliever. Very good reliever. Steady. They had a hell of a manager in what was his name?
He was there for
yep. Love Mike Socha. Very good manager. And they won the World Series. I want to know.
In 2002.
Yeah. So this is
because that's when Lackey won his first World Series.
Yep. So this is a team coming in that's got postseason experience. It's got a winning pedigree. And this is, keep in mind, 2003, this is the Red Sox lose the walk-off A-Rod, beating Wakefield. So this is,
you want to say that again?
Alex Rodriguez.
No.
A-Rod.
Nope.
What?
It was Boone.
Oh, shit, yeah. Whoa, wow, whoa. Total fucking brain fart. Thanks. Jesus Christ, thank you. I'm getting old now. Aaron Boone.
Fucking Boone, dude.
Yeah,
come on.
Jesus Christ. I remember watching it. I cried myself to sleep that night.
A-Rod wasn't even on the fucking Yankees in 03.
That's true. It was 04. Jesus.
I still, like, okay. I know we hate A-Rod, and I know as, like, fans of the Boston Red Sox, Red Sox Nation hates A-Rod. Like, seriously, could you imagine what the Red Sox would have been like if they had A-Rod hit with David Ortiz? I mean,
oh my god, disgusting.
You have fucking Manny Ramirez and David Ortiz, probably the two greatest duos to ever hit, like, back to back, right? Now, the Red Sox were in the process of getting A-Rod, and the pieces for that were going to be Manny Ramirez and John Lester, right? It was supposed to be Lester.
It was Nomar Garcia Para.
No, it wasn't.
And dude, I loved it. It was Nomar and Manny, and they were going to get Alex Rodriguez and Maglio Ordonez.
That would have been a fucking ridiculously good trade. And oh my god,
Maglio Ordonez is a fucking hell of a hitter, and Alex Rodriguez in Fenway Park would have absolutely destroyed.
That's gross.
Which also led into Nomar's pissed off attitude in 2004 because they were talking about trading him for A-Rod. So he came into the season pissed off because he thought they wanted an upgrade at short. when he was great at in 2003. Was hurt, spring training, didn't play well, and then it just kind of fucking snowballed.
It's crazy. Like, what was it, the players union that shot that down?
You're wrong. A-Rod was willing to restructure his contract, and under the reworked deal, he would have been able to opt out of his contract in 2005 and every year after, instead of just in 2007, as originally stipulated in his agreement. The full scope of the trades that had been hammered out had the 27-year-old Rodriguez going from Texas to Boston in exchange for 31-year-old Manny Ramirez, pitching prospect John Lester, then just two seasons into his professional career and a month shy of his 20th birthday, and cash.
Then there was a different iteration of the trade because Magaly Ordóñez was definitely coming. So was Manny Ramirez. That was a huge, they actually put Manny Ramirez before the 04 season
and
on waivers. Said,
no more Garcia Parra than 29 would have gone to the White Sox along with reliever Scott Williamson in exchange for going on 30-year-old outfielder Magaly Ordóñez.
Right, right.
20-year-old pitching prospect Brandon McCarthy, but the players' union rejected the proposal as it was against any effort to reduce the value of an existing contract.
Yep.
So,
which always which always made me like A-Rod, because that guy was willing to take less money to go to play for a winner. And it's like, you know, you never hear about that with players, but he really wanted to win.
And then the fun fact after that happened, where the Players Association nixed that, the Texas Rangers announced him as their captain.
That's hilarious.
You know who was his? You know who was the coach for the Texas Rangers then?
Buck Showalter.
Yep.
Huh.
It's just like, holy shit! Could you, like, honestly just imagine what the Red Sox would have looked like with Big Poppy and A-Rod? Like, A-Rod's a douche. We all know that.
But who cares?
But he could fucking play. And in 2004, dude, Brady, you and I both agreed he was a better shortstop than Nomar Garcia-Parra. He was rising. Close. Yeah, it wasn't close.
A-Rod, and by the numbers, is the best shortstop who ever played. So it's kind of crazy. No one wants to give him credit because, you know, PEDs and he's a douche, but I mean, honestly, what he did on the field, he was the best shortstop who ever lived.
When A-Rod was a member of the Mariners, I loved him. When he was a member of the Texas Rangers, I loved him. I started not liking him as soon as he became a member of the New York Yankees.
That checks out.
And that's how it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that he was a terrible player. It just means that he's a dick and he went to the Yankees.
So
it
makes him a mega dick.
Kind of like, I can't blame him. I mean, the Players Association nixed it. They were the ones that were like, no, you can't, you're not going to the Red Sox. You're not taking less money.
So like I said, the fallout of that was when that trade went through, they then put Manny on waivers. Any team could have just taken his contract at that time. There was different agreements than today. If any team wanted Manny, could have taken him and all of his money, and it didn't go through, and they held on to Manny. And, I mean, obviously he was great and worked out, but they really were looking at doing some crazy shit after losing in 2003, getting Schilling, which, by the way, they traded for him on Thanksgiving, which was great. You know, Theo and had dinner at his house. It was amazing. But, you know, they were willing to do almost anything after getting their hearts ripped out in 2003. They were willing to blow it all up to really try to win. And they were facing a team that was not a pushover team in the Angels at all, and they beat the shit out of them.
They had a tough time in the third game, but
yeah, I was there for that third game.
That checks out.
Yep. But we'll get to the third game.
I mean, not talked about enough, like, about that Angels team is, like, they had two of, like, the best bullpen arms of, like, that generation in K-Rod and Troy Percival. Like, how do you have those two in the same bullpen? Like, what?
That was, like, Mariano used to be the setup guy for, oh, shit. Now the Yankee closer before Mariano.
No, not Goodman, because he used to play for the Red Sox.
I'm going to have to look. John Wetland was his name. John Wetland was a fucking awesome closer. And who was the setup guy? Mariano Rivera. And it was like, good luck. That's when the Yankees were, that's the beginning of their dynasty, was that was their setup, their 1-2.
Well, Rivera, they wanted him to be a starter.
he came up as a starter, starter.
And then now this dude's the greatest closer of all time.
He tried to throw five pitches. Three of them sucked. Two of them were great.
One of them was his best pitch.
And they're like, Mo, dude, you see your cutter? You know how it's like just like the best pitch like maybe ever thrown? Just throw that.
Jesus Christ, man.
Over and over and over again.
Just throw the cutter. And like
everybody knows it's coming.
Yeah. So it still can't do dick about it. It's insane.
So Keith Folk was a big free agent signing that year in 04. Brought in that was a nice move, solidified that bullpen. Timlin and Embry are the main two cogs leading it over to Keith Folk.
Derek Lowe ended up having to go to the pen.
He was awful that year.
He was fucking terrible. He had like a 6-something ERA.
I think he had the highest ERA of any active pitcher that season.
Yeah, he was fucking really bad. He was terrible. Hold on, let me check real quick. Oh no, that was for the playoffs. Let me check his fucking. Yeah, all right. 2004, he had a 5.42 ERA.
Yep, not good.
Yeah, that is not good.
No bueno.
I did not realize he played for the Red Sox as long as he did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was there for a bit.
97.
Yeah, he came along.
He got traded in 97.
Along with Jason Veritek for Heathcliff Slocum. One of the best deals ever made. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Derek Lowe was not only a hell of a starter on a lot of seasons, but he was a hell of a closer for a couple of years. They used him as the closer, and Derek Lowe was fucking nails his closer. He was great.
In 2002, he had 21 fucking wins. He had a 2.58 ERA.
He had 14 wins in 04 with a over five and a half ERA because the team hit.
Yep.
Dude, the talent that the Mariners let slip out of their organization like through that period of time is actually kind of fucking nuts.
Pretty sure Jared Washburn himself is from the Seattle Mariners.
That's really funny.
I got to double check, but.
Are you fucking kidding me? I didn't know that.
What?
Low pitch for the Yankees?
Yes.
Yeah, that was in 2012. He pitched one game. not one game. He pitched 17 games. He won one, lost one. Oh, my Lord.
Washburn did pitch for Seattle, but in the end of his career, not the beginning, but I remember that he pitched there. Yep. That was
fucking terrible.
Oh, yeah. The Yankees love Kevin Youkilis played with the Yankees.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, scrub that fucking garbage out of my memory. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I can't see Yuk with the Yanks. That's so bad.
Dude, I'm literally about to like go on another, about to send another death threat to Bobby Valentine. Oh my God.
the good old lefty reliever, lefty on lefty, Mike Myers, who played the Halloween music when he would come out. He also pitched for both the Sox and the Yanks. He was a really good lefty reliever out of that pen. Oh yeah. But that first game you saw a fucking demon. 2-for-5, Manny 3-for-5.
Let's fucking get into.
I mean, you look how good the Red Sox were. They had the batting champ, Bill Miller, hitting eighth.
Yeah, it was fucking pretty terrible, dude. Like how I couldn't believe that. Like, here, let me fucking.
It's unbelievable how good that team really was. Stacked.
Yeah, this is back in October 5th. All right, game one. All right, let's talk about it. Johnny Damon, he went. Okay, so we had Damon, Bellhorn, Ramirez, Ortiz. It was so weird watching 04 and seeing Ortiz on a regular basis at first base. Millar, Veritek, Orlando Cabrera. So hey, how did you? I was live tweeting as I was watching the games.
I thought it was funny. I like
that. We had Bill Mueller. Is that Mueller or Miller?
Miller.
That's weird. Gabe Kapler. Jesus Christ.
Hold on. Big Poppy only played first base once in Blue Moon.
Millar. No, not in the 2004 season. Now, when it was right now for the postseason, yes, for the 2004 season,
Kevin Millar was their first baseman.
Blah.
I'll get it. Okay.
What a name!
Come on, this is my wheelhouse, man.
He played more.
2004, he played four games at first base for the Boston Red Sox.
No, he didn't. Fuck off.
2004. Excuse me. No, 34.
There you go.
Okay, so he played his jersey number
like 1 in 6 games. Yeah. He did it actually.
Yeah, it was Kevin Millar. Yeah, Millar.
That's fine. Black. But he played fucking 34 games, which is way more than you saw throughout his career.
Well, I mean, he was younger.
He was a spring chicken then, a young buck.
He was a 290 fucking spring chicken there.
He was.
I saw him slide into second during one game, and I was just like, "What the fuck was that?" It was like a ball just fucking like fell.
Now I got my wife does not watch baseball, not into baseball at all. But in 2003, she was like, "They should be playing David Ortiz. This guy's really good." And I was like, he was not anything yet. And they were still playing Jeremy Giambi at that time. Sure. And she was like, they should be playing David Ortiz. And they started, and she's like, I told you. And then throughout the rest of his career, she's like, who called it first? Like, you did, Jen. I can't argue. Like, no one, I didn't fucking see it coming. Nobody did. Well, Jen did.
That checks out.
Yep. I'm very happy that he's on track to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Deservedly so.
He started 31 games at first, and he played a total 34 at first.
Because three in the must have been in St. No, it can't be three in St. Louis because they swept. So he only played two in St. Louis, but he must have played one somewhere else. But yeah, hell of a team.
Pretty good.
Kick the shit out of Jared Washburn in game one.
Yep, that was fun. Good yep. times.
Yep, good it times. Was. It was what very was your good.
What was your favorite home run in that one?
In that series or that game?
That game.
Millar. Okay. Millar, because Millar was really struggling going into the postseason.
Do you remember when he hit the home run?
I think it was they had a big outburst, a 7-run inning. I think was that. Bringing up the box score, I can tell you in a second.
He hit it in the fourth.
He changed his batting stance right before the postseason. Okay. He went from a closed to an open batting stance.
And you're right. That was the seven run inning.
It was
in the fourth inning.
Came off that inning. I remember that. It was great.
My favorite was Manny's with the 2-on-2-out to center field.
Oh, that was a shot. That was a shot.
That was also in the fourth. So that checks out.
Yeah, I mean, Schilling was dealing.
So
in the beginning.
They were not the great. Los Angeles Angels. They were the Anaheim Angels.
They were the Anaheim Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim Los Angeles.
Of Dodgers
of Anaheim, of Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
And I think this is when they
Angels
still had
in the outfield.
Angels in the outfield. Yeah,
the rally monkey was still a thing. I think right.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah, that was fucking stupid.
I know.
That was stupid as fuck. Like, you're called the Angels.
Yeah.
And you're going to use a monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
That was bad marketing.
They sold a lot of fucking stuffed monkeys. I'll tell you that.
I mean, they sold a lot of them, but that was stupid.
You tell me that there are monkey angels? What's the problem with that?
Harambe.
They were ahead of their time. They were ahead of their time.
No, mm-hmm. they were fucking stupid. Should have just been angels. Angels in the outfield, like the fucking movie. Fucking douchebags. They should have fucking sold. Well, what was that dickhead's name? Christopher
Lloyd?
Yeah. Should have made some fucking little stuffed angels in the outfield type things. And they should have been fucking. They should.
People went fucking nuts with it too, man. They really did.
That movie or the monkeys?
Both, but the fucking monkey. I was like, just enough with this fucking shit, man.
I'm going to tell you right now, the worst thing that happened for the Red Sox in 2004 was Fever Pitch.
Oh, yeah.
I think Fever Pitch was fucking terrible.
I like it. I mean, yeah, it's fun. Objectively, I mean, it's fun. Like, it's not a great movie, but it's fun.
Did you know that that fucking movie was technically supposed to be about them losing?
Yeah.
They had to rewrite the fucking movie because they won.
Oh my God. Get the fuck out of here.
They originally wanted the idea of the Red Sox to win, but they said, this is way too far fetched. We're not going to do it because it's unbelievable. Right. And especially the way that they lost in 2003, they were like, nope, just be lovable losers. And I was like, oh shit. We should probably rethink about what we're doing here.
We got to fucking rewrite the movie. I remember when the movie fucking came out, I was like, I got to go watch it just because it's a fucking Red Sox movie. So I fucking went and watched it and I'm like, I didn't realize it was a love story, you know, but I liked it for its time because of the fact that it was a fucking Red Sox movie. But like looking back at it now, fucking what's his name? Fallon. He's Jimmy a Yankees Fallon. Fan.
Yeah, he's I can't believe wow. I mean, all I'm saying is what's his name? Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck would never fucking wear a Yankees hat and like play a Yankee main character fan.
Well, this was
that's my king.
You know, this was the same postseason that I think it was John Kerry, politician John Kerry, said that Manny Ortiz is one heck of a ball player. And I was like, oh, you're totally a diehard Sox fan, aren't you?
Oh, the pandering, the political pandering.
Let me fucking.
I got to remember, in 2003, there was a movie. I got to look it up for the title for you guys. It was great. It was a documentary about Red Sox fans, about watching them go through the season and all the highs and lows. But the crushing low of Aaron Boone's walk-off and seeing the reactions was the most cathartic movie I've ever watched in my life.
Wait, what? Say that again?
There was a documentary in 2003 of Red Sox fans, and a guy followed like six or seven Red Sox fans through the whole season and like just followed through their highs and lows being fans during the season. But at the end of the movie, when Aaron Boone kills the Red Sox, to see the fucking pain and sadness, and I'm like, I know! It's me! You know, and I gotta look up the title. It's been a while.
He's just like me, for real.
Yep. It was great. It was a fucking very cathartic movie to watch and just be like, I get it. It was real.
It was a 2003 movie.
Yeah. It was like an independent kind of thing. My father and I saw it somewhere. I think in Hartford, we had to go see it.
Was it called Still We Believe?
I think it was.
Yeah. Still We Believe, the Boston Red Sox movie.
Yeah. It was good. You would love it.
Yeah. I would love it. Is that what you said?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
You know what I still haven't seen that as a Red Sox fan I probably definitely should have seen by now? Is the 30 for 30 about the 04 season. I still haven't seen 4 days in October.
Dude, I watch it at least once a year.
I do too.
Yeah.
That checks out.
Yeah, well, yeah, it sure does.
I do need to watch it. And I love 30 for 30s. So, like, you know, always great production.
Do you want to hear the truth? When I put my son to bed when he was young, I would tell the story of 4 days in October like it's a fucking fairy tale. Good night, buddy. And the Red Sox win. They sure do. Those evil fucking Yankees, they all cry to sleep that night. And the good guys finally win. Oh, yeah.
I don't know about you guys. I love the fact that we're supposed to be talking about the ALDS, but we're talking about the actual World Series, which we don't even know we win.
What are we
talking about? 04 is a whole, pretty much.
I'm gonna tell you right now that every time I hear Castiglione fucking say the Red Sox win, I get goosebumps. I get goosebumps every fucking time.
I used to have a bottle opener, Joe Castiglione, and the Red Sox gonna win this one. And I'd be like, shh, crack another one, Joe. It was fucking great. It died. I used it too much.
It died.
Checked out. Checked out.
It checked out.
Yeah, it sure did.
I'm gonna be inconsolable the day that Joe Castiglione passes away. Honestly.
Oh my God. Why did you even fucking put that into the universe?
Because every person is eventually going to die. It's a fact.
Joe, not.
No. True, you know, true. You fucking someone give him an android body. I've had enough of this shit.
I mean,
you know what like kills me about watching these fucking games, these 2004 games?
What's that?
Seeing Jerry Remy and Don Russello.
No. Pain.
But I will tell you this. The thing that fucking pains me the most is that when I started watching the ALCS for 2004, I fucking heard the voice. I heard Dave O'Brien's voice, and I wanted to I wanted to punch my fucking TV.
You can't escape it.
Alternate reality. You're like, what the fuck? What's going on?
I heard his voice, and I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? And why does God hate me?
Oh, yeah. Also, didn't mention this. You tweeted about it, Brad, but like, how cool is it just listen to Chris Berman call baseball games?
I fucking love Chris Berman.
Gone!
He called a fucking home run. He was like, that's two backs. I was like, what do you mean it's two backs? He's like, it's back, back.
He's really good.
Listening to him back in the day when they did the home run derby was fucking awesome. He's like, back, 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 back. God!
Oh, yeah. Every fucking time, and it never got old.
You don't get that shit anymore.
You know what the truth is? You bring that up, though. It's a good point. Is Berman was a national guy, right? Not like a local guy. But he was able to be unbiased but still give, like, emphasis in every moment, which is what Dave O'Brien sucks ass at. Right,
I swear to God, so many of these national guys nowadays are just so afraid to show their personality at all.
Right.
And like, oh, well, I need to call the game neutral, which means I show no emotion. No, that means you show emotion for both sides when they do something.
Yeah,
there was a game that I was watching. And, you know how I'm not an OB fan, but OB actually fucking called a game where he wasn't biased, but he actually showed like emotion. And it was so weird.
If Dave O'Brien showed emotion, he'd be just a great commentator, you know. But he doesn't. He sounds like he does not give a single fuck.
His voice itself is great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's like, got a good voice. I'll tell you another person who's got a really good voice. Sean McDonough.
Oh, yeah.
I
like it when he just like shows up randomly during the season, like nowadays, like on the radio. It's just like a nice little surprise. Like, oh, hey, Sean McDonough's here. It's like, oh, cool.
He's great. He's fucking great. So right,
let's go back to the American League Division Series because Schilling
was
50 plus minutes in and we barely even talked about it.
Yeah, but we're talking about great, the season though. As a whole.
Schilling was great game one. That's the main thing to, you know, he let up three runs, but I mean, they had a fucking huge lead, and he went
6 2/3. He gave up 9 hits. He gave up 3 runs. 2 of them earned. Walked 2. He struck out 4. So I mean, he did his job. Alan Embry came in for a third of an inning. Temlin came in for 2. We'll get into the Temlin situation.
Yep.
Because he pitched every fucking game. Jared Washburn, he pitched 3 1/3 inning. He gave up 5 hits, 7 runs, 3 of them earned. He walked 3, struck out 3. He gave up a home run. Schilling gave up 2 home runs. I forgot to mention that. And then Scott Shields came in, pitched for 1 2/3. He gave up a hit, a run. It was earned. He walked 1. He struck out 2, gave up a home run. Kevin Gregg came in for 2 innings. He gave up 3 hits, 1 walk. Ramon Ortiz came in for 2 innings, gave up 2 hits, 1 run earned, 1 walk. So the Red Sox ended up beating the Angels 9-3. The attendance. Oh, I love this. How about the fact that this game started at 1:09 on the West Coast in the Pacific time? Like nowadays we'd be fucking yelling about that.
It's
starting at 4:00. And the duration of the game was 3 hours. So there is that. That was an ESPN game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Chris Berman. Chris Berman was calling it. Of course, it was an ESPN game.
Yeah. I believe the second game was also.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were all 3 ESPN games.
They probably had the rights at the time for the ALDS.
One big thing here was Schilling, although, you know, not striking out a ton.
Right. He did. Runs. He fucked up his
well, yeah, I was going to say it in a second, but he also, remember, with a 7-run inning, he sat for a long fucking time and iced him, you know, kind of up. He was really dominant in that performance. But as Brad was alluding to, as he's walking off the field, I can't remember if it was a ground ball the first and he covered or if he was hopping over the first baseline, but the infamous injured ankle happens in this game. This is where he hurts his fucking ankle.
It's setting up the pieces for later.
Yep. He injured himself by going for a ball that was like hit up first baseline. So he went after the ball and did he go after the ball and throw it to first? I don't remember, but I know that he fucked his ankle up there.
Yeah, it didn't look serious. They downplayed it after the game. So they were like, oh, cool. All right, good. But that had a lot to do with some legend later on.
What?
I don't even know what I'm talking about now.
Exactly, because no. We don't know anything about Curt Schilling fucking pitching.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
It's yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, the next game, it was Pedro versus Bartolo Colon. And that was fucking hilarious, watching Big Sexy pitch. He pitched the same way as he's always pitched, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, watching these older games, it's like watching the release point of these pitchers. Like, Pedro didn't throw hard. Like, Pedro wasn't like a 97 guy. He was like a 90, 93, 94 guy. He was a finesse guy, though.
At this time.
Yeah.
In 99, yeah, because, he was.
No, in 99, he was fucking. He was like, I'm going to fucking throw it. If it hits you, you're fucked.
I mean, this is like the reason like the Red Sox, like they traded Pedro after the series. The injuries were really starting to finally catch up with him. And like also his slider frame and that, because Pedro from like 99 to 2003 was literally the single best pitcher who ever pitched. Like if you look at the numbers, it's kind of insane. Like if you look at all the era adjusted shit, what he was doing during the steroid era is just unheard of. Like it's absurd. And 04, like he was still pretty good, but like he wasn't Pedro.
He had the worst month of his career at the end of the season. I believe it was September. He was just fucking he was nothing. He just pitched like shit.
And so. Keep in mind, Derek Lowe, who should have been their number three, had such a horrible start. Season. And Tim Wakefield after 2003, you know, his head, they were afraid to use him in the postseason. So their rotation was Schilling, Pedro, Bronson Arroyo, who really was their number five, kind of had to move up to be a number three starter for the series.
Isn't that fucking crazy that Bronson Arroyo was their number three at this time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to really illustrate like how dominant Pedro was. So here's his ERA and FIP from 1999 to 2003 each season. So 99, 207 ERA, 1.39 FIP. In the year 2000, 1.74 ERA, 2.17 FIP. 2001, 239 ERA, 1.61 FIP. 2002, 226 ERA, 224 FIP. 2003, 222 ERA, 221 FIP. This is in the steroid era.
Yeah, that's nuts.
In the AL East. What even?
It was so fun. It was so fun to watch him in his prime. He was just so much better than anyone else.
I'm so happy that he got that ring in 04. Like, it's truly, he deserved it.
Oh, no. He absolutely did. And then he goes to the Mets.
I saw that.
He goes to the Mets and signs a free agent contract. Never quite lived up to the billing there, but you know, he did his thing. He did his thing.
Yeah, he did. Wait, hold on. We don't know where he goes, remember?
Oh shit. Sorry.
We gotta stop this. Thinking about he might go to the Mets. I think he might go to the Phillies too. You know, there's that thing. He pitches for maybe another 5 years.
Good point. Maybe. You know, maybe.
We'll figure it out. We'll find out soon enough. I mean, with baseball lockout, we've got way more than enough time to fucking like talk about what could and what might not happen from the 2004 season. But right now we're focusing on the 2004 ALDS, and we have no idea what's going on after this series. We know that the Red Sox are going to face the New York Yankees, and we're going to end up talking about that after next week. And let's talk about game two. So the lineup right now for game two And it seems like they were going with this lineup on a regular basis for the Red Sox. It was Damon. Damon was always like their leadoff guy, but it was Damon, Bellhorn, Ramirez, which was fucking hilarious because Mark Bellhorn was either a strikeout or a walk. He led for strikeouts and he led the team for walks. And then you got Manny Poppy, who wasn't known as Poppy at this time. You had Trout Nixon, Kevin Millar, which was weird because like you guys think nowadays you don't usually do a left lefty. You don't do lefty lefty. You usually go lefty righty. But back then it was you had Ramirez, Ortiz, who was a lefty. Then you had Nixon, who was a lefty. Kevin Millar. Then you had Veritek. And I knew that Tech was a great catcher. I didn't realize how good he was at hitting and how smooth he was as a switch hitter. You know, like watching throughout the – like, because I've been watching – like I said, I've been watching the 2004 season. But – I really didn't know how smooth, like a hitter he was.
Yeah, he had a lot more contact from the left, but power from the right. That was right, his power side.
Right, right. And then you had Orlando Cabrera. Now, here was my question. Like, I know that when they traded Nomar, they got Cabrera, but wasn't Pokey Reese supposed to be their full time either second baseman or their shortstop? So I know he played a lot of shortstop for them.
Yeah, he did that year because Nomar was hurt or throwing tantrums because of his contract situation. So he played a lot more than they anticipated. But he was really meant to be the utility, you know, second base, shortstop, you know, kind of guy.
So what happened with, what was it, Cesar Crespo?
Cesar Crespo was another kind of fill-in kind of guy that was not a mainstay. The Red Sox went through a couple second basemen over the years and had some really good ones. At Mark Loretta, you know, Mark Bellhorn.
Wasn't that later on though?
Loretta, that I don't remember. 2003 may have been Loretta. They had some good second basemen, but always for like a short period of time. Bellhorn was kind of a weird guy in terms of, you know, he was a Theo find. You never heard of him much before, or never heard of him much afterwards.
Loretta was 2006.
Six. Bellhorn, I pretty much, if you Google him, I'm pretty sure he played for the Yankees too. I think he's after the Red Sox career, he's another guy that the Yankees love to acquire ex-Red Sox.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Bill Millar, Miller, whatever. I every time I see his name, I can't say his name correctly because it's spelled weird.
Yeah.
And pronounced even weirder. But he was like a batting champion, wasn't he? And he was batting like ninth.
Yep. Yep. He had like 326 or something like that. He had a great year. So a switch hitter, got him, I think, from the Dodgers, as a free agent. And, man, he had to just have a hell of a year. That guy did not strike out. Really good, solid third baseman. Not spectacular, but a really good hitter for the Red Sox.
Got him from the Giants.
Giants it was? Okay.
Yeah, he played for the Giants in 2002. Then he came to the Red Sox in 2003. He played for them until 2005. And then he went and played for the Dodgers in 2006.
I mean, we remember, you know, Ben Cherington hitting on all those free agents in 2013. But Theo, Kevin Millar off the scrap heap. Bill Miller, scrap heap. Bronson Arroyo, scrap heap. Big Poppy, scrap heap. A lot of, you know, the guys that he used to fortify this team.
All right, so who do you give the credit to for Poppy? Do you give that to Theo or do you give that to Pedro?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I give it to Theo because I think players all the time have the, hey, you know who's really good, you know who's good. But I think it's Theo going like, okay.
Well, they signed him in 2003, 2002 or 2003. Well, when they signed, he didn't want to. He was like, "Fucking trade me." He was like, "Either play me or trade me."
Yeah.
And then they finally started playing him
because Jeremy Giambi sucked. I mean, he was bad. He was real bad.
And he had a bad attitude. If I've learned anything from Moneyball.
Yeah. Great movie.
I love that movie. By the way, can I mention something about Pokey Reese?
How fucking great he was. well, how underrated he was.
How that, but he also sounds like a
Hall I just watched a fucking game where he hit an inside the park home run and then he hit a 2-run homer.
I remember
motherfucker.
That game.
Pokey Reese sounds like a name like of a Hall of Fame baseball player from 1915. I just wanted to point that out.
He definitely does.
It's like
he definitely does.
Rubber Shoes Johnson.
That Pokey checks Reese. Out. Yep.
Yeah, he played for the Pirates for years, and then I remember when the Sox got him, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, Pokey Reese. Well, I mean, that's a great – you're right. It's a great fucking baseball name. He was a scrappy player. He was great. Yeah,
hold on, let me check real
quick. And Bellhorn did play for the Yankees. Only 9 games, but I do remember that show. I was like, they have to sign every fucking Red Sox player. If you wore the Red Sox jersey, apparently you got to stop in New York.
Pokey Reese, he only played for 3 teams.
Pirates, right? Though
he played for the Reds from 97 to 2001. He played for the Pirates from 2002 to 2003, and then he played for the Red Sox in 2004. And that was it.
And that was it for his major league career.
Just dipped.
That was fucking yeah.
Damn.
He only hit a total of 44 home runs.
One of them was in Parker.
Then he hit the deuces and left. What a legend.
Yeah, I wonder why he fucking... That's fucking strange.
Pokey Reese behind the blow.
Oh, he signed with the Mariners in 2005, but never played in a game before being put on the 60-day disabled list and missing the entire season due to an injury. In 2006, he signed with the Florida Marlins. However, his contract was terminated after he left the club on March 1st and did not have direct contact with anyone on the team. In 2008, he signed a minor league contract with the Nationals and played for the AAA Columbus, where in 2 games he strained both hamstrings. Fuck, dude, this guy just couldn't come back. He was placed on the DL for several weeks. On July 2018, he returned from the DL list to single A, but was quickly sent back up again to AAA. He became a free agent at the end of the season, after which he retired from professional baseball. At the plate, Reese struck out much more often than he walked, posting a career of 0.43 walk to strikeout ratio. Reese was a high percentage base stealer. He went 144 steals and out of 170 times, and he had a 3.07 base percentage. He only played baseball for 8 years, so he didn't get that fucking lucrative 10-year deal with baseball. That sucks.
Yeah, it's it sucks.
Nah, Pokey was a good guy.
Yeah, that's so fucking bad. All right, let's get back to the fucking game too. All right, motherfucker. All right, so we got Damon and Bellhorn, Ramirez, Ortiz, Nixon, Mala. Veritek, Cabrera, Miller, and Pedro was pitching. One thing I wanted to talk about, I forgot to mention in the first about the first game, was Sean Figgins making that terrible throw to home plate. Hogdale, you saw that, right?
Oh, that was a yike. He had a rough game.
Yeah, he had a terrible fucking game for game one. But let's get Pedro pitched. He pitched 7 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 runs. 3 of them earned, struck out 6, walked 2. Mike Timlin came in for a third of an inning. He pitched two innings the game before. He pitched a third here. Michael Myers, he came in and he held for a third of an inning. He struck out 1. Keith Foulke came in, got the save. He pitched 1 of the third innings. Bartolo Colon, he also went 6. He went 6 innings. Can't say also. He gave him 7 hits, 3 runs. He did fantastic. He went tit for tat with Pedro.
Mm-hmm.
Francisco Rodriguez, he ended up with loss. He pitched 2 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, earned 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. Then Brandon Donnelly gave up 3 hits. Or he pitched 1 inning, 3 hits, 4 runs. That's where most of them came from. 2 walks. Can you guess what his ERA was after that game? It was double digits. I'll give you that.
13.
27.
Brady was closer. It was 36.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he threw 1 inning and gave up 4 runs.
Not good.
So there's that. Let's see.
Hogdale's right, though. K-Rod was such a great reliever for a while. Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod, he was unbelievable.
Him and fucking Troy Percival on the same team. It's just kind of crazy.
Yep.
Veritek hit, it was the only one that hit a home run in that game. David Ortiz had an intentional walk. Tech got a hit by pitch. Jesus Christ. There's just so much here. Johnny Damon stole second. Two times. Was it two? Two times? Mark Bellhorn got picked off by Jose Molina. So, good game.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was...
Pokey Reese ended up coming in, playing second. Kapler came in. He pinch ran for Trot. He played right field. Doug Minkiewicz.
Yep.
That's how you say his name.
That's how you say
it's spelt different than you say it. Just like Millar.
It's spelt weird. It's a weird last name.
Yeah. Roberts came in and pinch ran for Miller. Euclid came in and played third. I didn't watch that, but whatever. It was a good game. It was a good game. It was a good game. So
Pedro pitched great.
He did pitch great. And then in the third and final game of the series, this one was at Fenway. This was a long fucking game. They played 10 innings. It was Bronson. Was it Bronson? Bronson Arroyo versus Kelvin Escobar.
Mm-hmm.
It checks out. Bronson Arroyo pitched a fucking fantastic game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this was probably one of the best games he had pitched in his career before. Didn't he go to, what, the Reds?
Yeah, he played with the Reds forever after he left the Red Sox.
That was a very poor trade. That was they traded Bronson Arroyo for Willie Mo Pena. Willie Mo Pena was supposed to be this big powerhouse.
Yo, at some point in the future, we got to talk about like the best trades and signings that have happened for the Red Sox, and also the worst trades.
That would be on the worst one because
I don't think that Willie Mo was the worst. He's up there with the bad. I think that Pablo was the worst signing that the Red Sox had.
Signing, yeah. I was like, just like trades though. Like that one's up there for being
signing rough. Trades. Same thing.
Like that's a rough trade.
Carl Crawford's pretty bad too.
Yeah, Carl Crawford was fucking terrible as well.
That's yikes.
I was so excited when they signed Carl Crawford too.
So was I.
Oh my God. Was too. I liked Adrian Gonzalez.
Oh, he played well for the Red Sox.
He was all right, but he had that fucking bullshit attitude. You know, the one thing that I didn't know about Manny was like the reason why they fucking traded him. That fight that he had with Euclid in 2000, was it 8?
Oh, really?
Is that your dog?
Yeah, Sapphire's upset.
Shut up, bitch.
I remember something, too, that Manny shoved the one management guy for the Red Sox. He was the travel secretary. Jack McCormick was his name. And Manny got into a disagreement with him and shoved. He was like a 75-year-old man and shoved him to the ground. And I think that was, if I remember right, that was like at the end. And I think Francona was like, he's got to fucking go.
Manny apologizes after shoving Red Sox official to the ground.
What year was that?
2008.
Yep. See, that was when Francona was like, nope. Now we've gone too far.
I wonder if Manny's still playing Jack baseball. McCormick.
Don't think he is. Last I knew, he was trying to play baseball in Australia, but because of the pandemic, I think that they caught him.
I think two or 3 years ago, I went to an Iowa Cubs game and Manny was on the Iowa Cubs.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So
he could be like player manager.
You know, the Red Sox in 04 really were lucky that they were carried that year by two Tampa Bay Rays legends, you know, that being Manny Ramirez and Johnny Damon, you know.
I forgot all about that until somebody posted
what? What, the Johnny Damon playing for the Tampa Bay Rays
legends?
And Manny, yeah, I totally forgot that.
They got introduced at the same press conference.
That's fucking terrible. Yeah, Johnny Damon, the drunk, and then fucking Manny Ramirez, the fucking old man beater.
Yep, that checks out.
Yeah, listen, man, just saying that guy was he was asking for it. Fuck that guy.
Prowler. It's weird.
Fuck that guy. Bronson pitched great this game. He was fucking unbelievable.
I love his wind-up.
He really was. They were talking about his fucking cornrows. Cornrows. That was fucking great. So Bronson goes 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 earned, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts, gave up 1 home run. Kelvin Escobar goes 3 1/3, gave up 5 hits, 5 runs, 3 earned, 5 walks, 4 strikeouts, didn't give up any home runs. Scott Shields comes in, goes 1 1/3. He gives up 4 hits, 4 hits, 1 run, 1 earned, 1 walk, 1 strikeout. Brendan Donnelly goes 2 1/3. He strikes out 5, which is crazy.
Yeah.
K-Rod goes 2 2/3. He gives up 2 hits, a run, which is earned, strikes out 3. He gets the loss. Jared Washburn comes in. He gives up 1 hit, 1 run earned.
So this one alone. So I'm at this game. So now it's the bottom of the 10th. It's a tie game, and they want to go lefty-lefty. So they bring in the starter, Jared Washburn, who did not pitch all that great in game one, again to face David Ortiz. Well,
and he gives up a home run.
On one fucking pitch.
Yeah, I saw that.
My father and I were there watching it, and it was like, and the whole fucking ballpark knew it. Like, you knew it was coming because this guy.
Manny was on, right?
Yeah, Manny was on. Poppy was up, and they figured, let's go lefty left here. Smart. I get it. Right. But Jared Washburn already didn't pitch well in game one. First fucking pitch, see ya. And it was fucking, I mean, that guy heard it like a motherfucker. Series walk off homer. That was fun.
I mean, he had the misfortune of going up against David Ortiz in the postseason. Really isn't much else to say. I mean, especially in that 0-4 run, the dude's just a fucking animal when it comes to like crunch time, like when the chips are down and it matters most. I really don't know like how many other guys I'd take ahead of David Ortiz in a moment like that. It's like, oh hey, a home run to send you to you know, the next round. I'll take Big Poppy any day of the week.
I feel for fucking Socha, like he thought that he was doing the right thing. And everybody else in the world would have been like, yeah, that is the right way to go about it. And this is the best thing to do. And then he's like, all right, well, I'm going to do it. And then fucking boom.
Yeah, it's like counterpoint. It's David Ortiz.
Yeah,
you're fucked either way.
This is the guy that we're going to end up calling Big Poppy. And there's a reason why we call him Big Poppy. And it has nothing to do with baseball in general. It's just the fact that he calls everybody Poppy because he can't remember anybody's fucking name.
Legend. Absolute legend.
Yeah, the Timlin earlier in the game, remember, he pitched game one, he pitched game two, he pitched game three, and now...
Yeah, but he literally pitched only 3 innings the entire series.
Right, but I think just the familiarity of seeing the same guy that many times. Like, you saw K-Rod was used, I think, almost every game, and he got hit every game. You need a little separation. Francona didn't really trust too many guys in the pen. Mike Myers only really came in to face a lefty. Embry
Timlin, he was a sidearm guy.
Myers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He came from a whole he was different. He was different. But Timlin was a little gas.
Ahead, sorry. One.
Yeah. No, sorry.
I was gonna say, like, that's what I love about the playoffs, though, is like it really shows like who managers actually trust. It's like if they trust you, it's like, get the fuck out there, buddy.
You can do it.
It's not like the other, yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Sorry. Something cool about the this game was when the game was over, two cool things happened. We stayed late. Crowd was going nuts, you know, dancing, singing. Stayed so long that the Angels, when the game was over and they took showers, they have to walk across the field to exit. There's no other way to get to the buses. Oh, no. They have to walk across the field. Fans are still there cheering. Vladimir Guerrero Sr. walked right past me, and I got to say, he was within 5 feet. I said, Vladdy, you're amazing. And he was just like, thanks, man. And just, like, no shit talking, because that guy was fucking
awesome.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
I can't. Senior was probably like, I love how people are like, oh, Rafi's the best bad ball, the bad pitch hitter. Like, no, you want to talk about the best bad pitch hitter? You're talking Vladdy Senior. He was the absolute best. Balls. Like, that shit would be on the fucking ground and he'd fucking kill it.
Didn't he golf one that like bounced one time? Like,
yeah, oh, yeah. That was him. That was him. He was great. So it was really cool to get to say it, got a little acknowledgement. And then Millar, about an hour after the walk-off, walked Manny Ramirez around, tried him, and I high-fived Manny Ramirez as he's going around the park.
Man, you're winning so much. Like, oh, my God.
I was 0-4.
Wow. Good.
You got Vladimir Guerrero to acknowledge your existence, and you high-fived Manny Ramirez. Like, oh,
pretty
God.
Fucking cool. Manny's hands were, like, fucking ginormous. I'm like, oh, it's cool. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
That's holy so cool. Shit.
What's up?
MLB Network cuts ties with Ken Rosenthal.
Yep, I just saw that a little bit ago.
Whoa.
Because he criticized Rob Manfred, so they fired him.
That's a little harsh.
That's some state-sponsored media, like Communist Russia kind of type beat.
Suspend him if you want to suspend him. I mean, the guy had a career.
He's like the best fucking, like, holy shit. I can't wait to read that in The Athletic.
By the way, I cannot wait for every, like, major network to completely shit on MLB for this, because it's going to be really funny, because they deserve it. Like, Ken, there's not a more respected member of baseball media than Ken Rosenthal. Like, he's going to get another job in fucking 5 seconds, so I'm not really that broken up for him. It's just like, you're clowns. MLB, like, as a conglomerate, you are all a bunch of fucking clowns. How dare we criticize poor Rob and his fucking ego. God damn it, dude. I hate him. When is Theo going to take over as the commissioner, dude? I've had enough of this fucking goofball.
That'd be great. That'd be fucking amazing. That's breaking. Man.
I saw it earlier. I didn't want to mention it because we were talking about shit.
Wow, dude.
That reminds me of, like, Harold Reynolds used to work for ESPN way back in the day.
I was just about to say something else. Cameron Maben just fucking announced his retirement.
He wasn't retired by now?
Yeah,
I thought
he was.
Wow.
Well, good for him. He had a nice career.
Yeah, Brad, do you remember that, though? Remember Harold Reynolds for ESPN?
Before
Baseball Network, he got in trouble. He did some, so he got the axe from ESPN, landed over at Baseball Network. So maybe Rosenthal will do the opposite here.
Wow,
it's like I said, like Ken Rosenthal.
I think the Ken Rosenthal thing is probably the biggest news of the week. Honestly, that's crazy.
Considering there is no news, I agree.
Well. Cameron Maben.
Nah.
Is this like, I don't know if it was Rosenthal who did the article, but like the article came out today that there's been like no progress made on the CBA and there isn't even a date set for them to meet, like the players union and the owners. So I don't know. Maybe Rosenthal put that article out and like Rob Everett's like, this makes me look bad.
Oh my God. I would think that makes the Players Association and Manfred, you know, it makes Clark and Manfred both look awful. You know what I mean? Like,
bro, I did not realize that Clark played for the fucking Yankees. That makes me hate him even more now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's in a game, I'm pretending in my mind's eye to see this, but it hasn't happened in the future yet, that Tony Clark may hit a ground rule double that saves the Red Sox season. That foreshadow.
I just love that the entire internet is just shitting on Rob Manfred right now. My phone is like just pinging, like ping, ping, ping. Ken Rosenthal fired, and everyone's just like, yeah, fucking Rob Manfred needs to go.
Doug Minkiewicz is also another guy that played for the Red Sox and the Yankees. I figured I'd just throw that in there as well. The Yankees love to continue their hoarding of 04 Red Sox. If you played on the 04 Red Sox, there's a reasonable chance that you played for the Yankees.
Well, David Wells played for the Red Sox.
He did. I think he went 05. I think that's when Wells went to the Red Sox, was 05.
But he went back to the Yankees, I think.
That sound, I don't know, because I know he got traded to the Padres from the Red Sox.
He was Yankees. Oh, he went Yankees, Toronto, Chicago White Sox, Yankees, Padres, Boston in 05, 06, then went back to the Padres.
Yeah, trade.
Then went to the Dodgers.
Man, like the Yankees, they love picking out Red Sox, you know, former Red Sox to play for them because they really like dudes with a winning pedigree. It's not something that they've, you know, that they have that much of. They gotta take a winning organization and sign their players. And if anything, I respect them. I respect them for doing so. You gotta pick up what you lack.
David Wells, yeah, no, he opened up the season in 05 because there was no more Pedro. Schilling was hurt. And yep, David Wells, I believe he wore number 3 for the Sox too, because Babe Ruth wore number 3. Not too often you see a starting pitcher with a single digit number, but
that's all right. Fucking he works for Fox.
Wells?
No, fucking Rosenthal.
Oh, okay.
Can I just say, like, I hope, like, now that, like, they've cut ties with Ken Rosenthal, that, like, Ken Rosenthal just, like, exposes Manfred with all the dirt that he probably has, like, just in the back
this
of
this. Is fucking crazy, man. Like, I did not expect to fucking see, of all people, like, Rosenthal has us fucking blocked, all right? So, like, at some point, I must have pissed him off.
For fuck's sake, Brad, like, who do you, like, not have us blocked with on the goddamn Pesky Report account?
Boston Strong?
We're probably on thin ice with him too.
No, Boston Strong's like he's cool shit.
He's a good dude. Yes, he's a good dude.
I don't know if it's a dude. I just they're cool
good,
shit.
Good point. Like a person.
Good person. I enjoy their content. They go back and forth with me. They go back and forth during the season. So
then we would do this like to like a guy like Ken Rosenthal is just insane to me. Like
I'm
insane.
Just that's fucking garbage. Fuck you, Manfred. Seriously, you piece of shit.
Great. Now we're gonna get blocked by MLB.
Oh,
good.
It's fucking locked out. So what does that fucking mean? I got
also
three
yeah.
Other
the MLB doesn't technically exist. There's a lockout going on.
It's true.
I just like to point out my tweet where I retweeted the article. I said, Rob Manfred, a.k.a. Chuckles the Ass Clown. That's his secret identity.
Fuck him. I'm so pissed off. Like, fuck you, dude. Honestly. Block me. Tell me I can't go to a fucking Red Sox game, you fucking dickbag. I'll find a way in. You fucking cunt.
The day Rob Manfred gets fucking removed, like, from his position will be a brighter day for baseball. Like,
fuck him.
I can't Seriously. Believe this fucking dude is allowed.
I'm starting the next fucking episode off by saying fuck Rob Manfred. I'm gonna say that and then we're gonna do the intro.
Good what idea.
Be great if Hogdale's here to hear it though, right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, Brady. You do not want to play this game, dude. I don't give you shit when you're late.
I'm sorry, Brady's late, but Brady's like 5 minutes late, not 30.
15. Okay.
30.
27. You guys are so full of shit. Pat
17. Right. Whatever.
Oh, God. Anyway.
When you tell me 5:30, I expect you at 5:30, not
yeah, fucking... well fuck it. I thought I was gonna be there at 5:30, and I was just sitting here trying to get my computer to turn on. All right.
How'd that work?
Stop work masturbating.
Out? Not well.
Stop watching porn on your fucking computer. Use your phone like a human being.
Don't be an animal. Jesus. Class it up.
That's funny.
I mean, if you really need to get it off, man, there's peanut butter and sapphire.
Shut up. Oh my God. Shut up. That shit is so disgusting.
And then on that note,
thank you for listening to the Pesky Report. Make sure to follow us on social media at Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Pesky Report. No matter what platform you're listening to us on, please make sure to leave us a review and a comment and let us know how we're doing. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.